Welcome back to the Dear Stripper, Raw and Real with Ala Kaplan. I'm Ala Kaplan, your host. And so the conversation continues. It was my honor to continue the conversation with John W. Kern about stoicism, life in general, and his views on the world. And I appreciated so much his time and the mentoring that he's given me. And so the conversation continues. This is an interview with John W. Kern, part two, the owner of the podcast, A Swift Kick in the Ass.
Hello, hello. I don't know where I was in my speech.
We were talking about Tony Robbins and how he charges crazy money.
Oh, yeah.
And how you're kind of doing something like life coaching, the 7-day program.
Yeah. You know, so I'm starting a program called the 7-Day Attitude Adjustment. And it's really based a lot on my own way of looking at life. So I guess that might be helpful to people to kind of understand what I've learned and through the things that I've experienced. So before Tommy died, Tommy was a lot like me, and he loved to learn, and he read about stoicism.
Did I ask you about that?
And he said, hey, I read about this. He says, I think you might be interested. And boy, was I ever. You know, so basically the Stoics, you know, when you think of a Stoic, you think of someone that's maybe unemotional. But it wasn't about being unemotional. It was about being thoughtful and not letting your emotions control you.
So for people who don't know what stoicism is, and I think is it a lot like the Greek?
So it's a philosophy.
A lot of philosophers.
It's a ancient philosophy. I believe it was the Greeks mm-hmm. or the Romans. I forget which. Mm-hmm. But probably the Greeks. But
both probably they took from each other.
Well, this is actually predates Christianity.
Yeah.
Back when Christianity was a cult, Stoicism was very popular with the well-educated and the elites. And what's interesting is that all the history got destroyed because of what? What do we see nowadays? We see all the ethnic cleansing BS that's been going on, you know, that where countries will come in and destroy another civilization's history. Well, that's what happened to the Stoics. A lot of their history got destroyed. But basically what it's all about is they say that life is about developing your character. So and addressing, I was going to say addressing your flaws, but
building character.
Yeah. I mean,
from setbacks.
Yes.
I think that.
Yeah. So not letting.
Learning not to react emotionally to everything.
Yes. And not letting it control you.
Yeah.
I mean, we really can't. So I learned about Stoicism, and I'm still learning a lot about it.
Me too.
Marcus Aurelius was one of the leaders of Rome, I believe. Rome? I don't know. I'm terrible at remembering that stuff. But anyhow, Marcus Aurelius was, in Rome. He was the leader of Rome and leader of the Roman Empire. One of the last great leaders, and he didn't intend to write a book about philosophy, but he was a Stoic, and he believed, you know, that's the way he lived his life. And he wrote a diary or a journal, which is also a part of being a Stoic, is they write at the end of each day, they write a little bit about what they learned in this day and how they would handle things differently. And they give some thought to the end of the day. So that's what Marcus Aurelius was doing as he was in war, as he was leading its country and dealing with all the issues of his people.
And his writing survived.
And his writing survived. And in fact, you'll see that a lot of great leaders have that in their nightstand. It's, again, Marcus Aurelius Meditations is the name of it. So that's part of what I base kind of my approach to life.
And as, I see a lot in your Facebook posts.
Yeah, it's building character and use it, not letting, you know, we really can't control our conditions and our situations a lot of the time. We do bring them on, and we have to accept responsibility and hold ourselves accountable for that. And in fact, I was thinking about it, you know, as I'm writing, as I'm kind of getting this all down and, you know, into some cohesive thing that I can share with other people. But anyhow, a lot of the time that a lot of the problems that we face, we don't take accountability for. And really we need to just say, you know what, the problem is me. I'm the problem. And
not the outside influence.
Yeah, not the outside influence. We're looking at outside influence where real growth starts from the inside and goes out. It goes in the inside. Like when you lose a person, you don't really forget them. I mean, they don't stop, like their meaning to you doesn't stop because they die. But life continues on around and kind of life grows around. Like, I mean, you have a whole special place, I think, for those people in your heart.
And you have the lessons you learned from them.
Yeah. So
the
like in a way they like
left spirit, you.
Yeah. I mean, their spirit lives on. As long as you're thinking about them, I mean, they'll always be there for you.
But like you talked about your father a lot. I remember when you interviewed me and you talked about how he was a big influence in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
He was like a man's man who taught you how to be a man.
But he also taught me what not to do.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
Right. Which
so
is part
I became,
of...
So I became my own man. But, you know, recognizing that I'm the problem is a big step, but let me carry that a little bit farther in that problems are, we define what a problem is and what it is not. Like what might be a problem to me, it might not be a problem to you at all. Like you don't see it as, like you just don't see it as a problem. You know, we determine and we label things as a problem or not a problem. That's a choice that we make. You know, so it's so if someone's doing something like in your vicinity, is that really your problem or is it their problem? And, you know, I don't know if you've heard about the Walk of Peace, these Buddhist monks. It's pretty amazing story. They took on a walk of peace, 2,300 mile walk. They're just now completing it. They started in Texas, and they're ending in Washington D.C. Just today.
Okay.
I mean, I think they're celebrating in D.C.
Does this have to do with administration during
Have to do anything with
it's
politics
just a walk
or anything
of peace.
It has it, and what they say is that peace starts with it's in with each and every one of us. And it begins with each and every one of us, beginning with having a peaceful day ourselves. That carries on. And to I've watched this journey over the last couple of months. I wish my schedule would have allowed me to go see them. I would have loved to do that. But I've been following it.
And who are they? Where are they from?
They're from Texas. Well, they're I'm not sure what type of monks they are.
Okay.
They're called the Venerable Monks. But if you look up Walk of Peace, you'll see. And they have a dog that follows them that's been with them since they found
a dog that they just off
there was a stray dog in India that befriended them and walked 120 miles with them before they took him in. And he's so cute.
Aw.
Aloka the Peace Dog. So, but anyhow, they talk about, you know, I mentioned the monks because another thing I found when Tommy died was meditation. And, you know, we talk about, like meditation basically is just focused breathing. It's like, how do you meditate? Well, you breathe in and then guess what? You breathe out.
Right.
That's what meditation is. At its root, we can't control our thoughts. Our thoughts serve a purpose, and it's our subconscious or whatever's driving those thoughts. It is there to help you and serve you in some way. I found myself having these recurring thoughts, thinking, "How does this serve me?" You know, I'm open to it. You know. Share with me how this serves me, and you got my attention, you know?
You have to turn your brain off somewhere, somehow.
Or let it go. Well, you kind of learn mental jujitsu or judo.
Like I started doing, then I haven't done it for a while, and I was doing it also with getting my mom to do it, was that Tina Turner had that chant, Nammyo Renge Kyo, which is I forget if it's Korean. But it's a Buddhist chant, and it just basically, I think the translation is, you know, that I'm just putting I'm putting good into the universe.
Yes.
I'm just putting good, and it's hard for me to sit there and just breathe in and breathe out, but I can easily like just sit there and repeat this saying. And I don't even, it just turns my brain off.
That's meditation.
10 or 15 minutes.
So you have learned, you are
to
meditating.
To repeat this chant.
We don't turn our brain off.
Right. Like, you can't.
But we can shift it. And
yeah. And I still think about stuff I need to do while I'm doing it sometimes. But the more I do it, the more my brain is at least distracted. For 10 minutes or 15 minutes of this meditation.
Yeah. Well, this becomes when you keep doing that and keep practicing it, that's something that you do on a daily basis, it becomes a part of who you are.
Right.
And that, again, goes back to the Stoic philosophy, is that when you work on your character, it becomes a part of who you are. When you develop your character, you're developing yourself. So it's stoicism. It's what I've learned from meditation. I have a health science education background when I was in, you know, so I actually went into that because selfish reasons. I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn about, you know, anatomy, physiology, all that stuff, all the health science stuff I wanted to learn for my own use.
Because your body is connected to what your mind is doing.
Yeah, that's exactly. So that, again, too, with the meditation, it strengthens the mind-body connection. And it's amazing how... I love it. I am so thankful because when Tommy was dying, I felt like my world was crashing in on me. I was losing my best friend, my marriage was stressed out because of that. Work was stressed out because of that. I mean, my kids were teenagers, you know, I mean, just everything felt like coming in. And I made a choice at that point to say, you know what? I got to stop talking about things and I got to start doing them. You know, we had the podcast back then.
That's the swift kick in the ass.
Yeah. So I had to live kind of live by example. You know, do that. And get my act together. But I decided I was not going to live the way I was living. I was going to refuse. So I started, like, I wanted to play guitar. I love music. I always have. I play other instruments. I play the bass guitar. I started learning guitar every day. I play every day now. It's been 5 years. So I'm the best I've ever been.
That's still awesome.
Still sink. I'm not that bad, actually. But I have fun. But, you know,
the only thing important is you enjoy it.
Yeah, that was the thing. And that was actually another book idea that I had, A Minute of Your Time. I think that you can change your life. All it takes is a minute of your time, dedicated, persistent action. So stoicism, meditation. There was an author that I learned about in college by the name of Dr. Susan Jeffers.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote a book called Feel the Fear, But Do It Anyway.
And she said that a lot in your post. I see it.
Yeah, like we live in this, our world, think of it as a box. And anywhere inside that box, that's your comfort zone.
Right.
You can operate anywhere in there and feel comfortable. You step outside the box, it ain't so comfortable. She said, as you take on more experiences and have more life experience, your comfort zone expands. So, and it does, if you push out in one side of the box, it doesn't just make a rectangle or something or some other shape. It pushes it, makes a bigger square. It pushes out in all areas of your life. And that's what I've seen. Like I do martial arts as well. That was another thing that I started about the time that Tommy was dying. You know, getting myself in shape. Unbelievable. What that's done.
I really need to get back in shape too.
So it's, and
I know the difference when I'm working out and I'm not.
Yeah. And
when I'm working on myself,
it makes it easier.
Just working out.
It's a good decision. Like if you know what that decision is doing for you,
right?
It's easy to do it.
Right.
Like if I know that a food is going to make me feel bad, I don't eat it.
Yeah.
Or if it's really tasty, I might and just live with it. But then that's a choice that I make.
Every day, all day, everything is a choice.
Yeah. And then so we talked about Dr. Susan Jeffers and the last part of this philosophy, just to make it a little spicy and twist it a little bit to disrupt conventional belief. I'm going to talk about hedonism. Right?
That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It is. Tell you more.
Especially from a stripper point of view.
Yeah. So hedonism, everyone thinks of it as getting wasted and gluttony.
Total debauchery.
Yes. Total debauchery and excess. It can be that, but it's not. And Epicurus is the philosopher who created hedonism. Epicurus. He was also related with food, right?
Yeah.
So he had a garden, and when he taught his students, they didn't have these excessive meals. They were having water and bread and simple foods and just taking the most pleasure from the most simple things. It wasn't about excess. It was about the simple things in life and getting the most out of it. You know, a lot of people, they were so consumed with social media and everything going on in everybody else's life that we take for granted all that the blessings that we have in our own life and take for granted. Like, especially if you lose a parent, I mean, your friends still have their parents. Yeah. You're like a little envious.
Yeah.
You know, you don't appreciate the loss sometimes until they're gone.
You don't appreciate it something until it's gone in general, whether it's a marriage or a friendship or whatever. And I think about now being in my 50s and my mom about to turn 75. And I think about,
I don't want to think about, when my mom is going to die.
I don't want to think about what's going to happen when she's going to die. I'm going to be, it's going to be a horrible loss. But I understand that in this life, no one gets out alive. It's inevitable.
Yep.
And I just tell myself to enjoy the time we have. Not to worry about how, when, whatever.
So that goes back to what we were saying before about past, present, and future. The only time, like, the past is gone, future's not here. We don't know what it holds. Only thing that matters is right here and right now. And, we make choices about that every day. That's where our choices are. That's the only place you could take action. If you want your future to be better, start making some different choices now. Like I want to, like I said, I don't want to just ease off into the sunset with retirement. I want to kind of ease into another. I have a plan. I want to ease into a lifestyle that actually kind of supports itself, the way I want to live.
And you're living. You're not just sitting
on the
porch.
I'm really living and setting an example for people that they can do that too.
Life doesn't end at retirement.
Yeah.
And you're asking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Right. Because when people do that, they often say, life holds nothing for me, and they off themselves. I hate to say it that way, but
a lot of the time people, they work 50 years and then when they retire, they just die because they have nothing to do.
Nothing to live for anymore.
Nothing to
all their go. What they were living for ended. So there was actually another book called You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about this survey that this financial advisor gave to all of his clients about happiness after they retired. And he surveyed, I think, over 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And the most happy people it wasn't based on how much money they had. It was based on what they did prior to retirement, the life that they had, and they built a life outside of work. That was their key to happiness. And having multiple, different revenue streams. That way, I had my job eliminated. So that 15 years ago or so. And that to me was an eye opener, because I learned that, I can get another job. It doesn't define me. So you can let your situations and your conditions define you, or you can take another approach. And that I'd rather take a different approach. So that's really, I mean, all this is coming together in something. It comes out in through my podcast, of course, but I really want to put something into together so that in 7 days, people can feel like they have a new, like they're going to be, have a reset, and then kind of a like a step back, and then a thoughtful period to kind of think about what they want to do, and then an action plan.
And they, that swift kick is where it comes in.
Yeah, keeps moving them in the right direction. So that's my idea. Maybe eventually I'll come up with a newsletter or something. I don't know what people really want, but open to that and trying to figure.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing a newsletter too, but I'm like, what would I do? Because I'm trying to do the podcast. There's the on the RSS website. Oh. There's okay. I upload like my audio to the RSS feed, rss.com, and they have like a community. It's called Slack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a community of podcasters. And so there's like, you know, you can hook up with people who are looking for guests and looking to be guests and all that. And then that's a bunch of Facebook groups that are like podcasters and need a guest and guest and want to host and all that kind of stuff. So, but it's been suggested to me, which I have thought about, it wasn't something new, that as a former stripper, I should go out and not only say, okay, I welcome if anyone's a dancer that wants to come on the podcast and be anonymous and just record anonymously, or wants to come on and be a guest, go out, get out of that box and out of that comfort zone and go to the clubs and enter, see if people actually would like to be interviewed. And so that's probably the next step. Because the story doesn't just end with me, because there's people out there doing what I used to do, and it would be interesting to get other people's stories, not just my story.
Yeah. I need to wrap it up, but I have a person then that I'll give you her I'll give you her contact information.
Okay.
I've known her since middle school.
Okay.
She.
You told me about her. I think that she has a pole in her house. Oh, you
no,
told
that,
me about
that's
someone that had a pole
sister.
In their house.
No. I think. Yeah. I don't know. She might though. I don't know. It's good. That's my cousin. A cousin. I know. I actually know a couple people.
If you want to send them my way, yeah.
But yeah, I actually have. I have a cousin who does. She's not a stripper. She just does it for like recreation. Like
yeah.
I mean, it takes tremendous body strength.
It does.
To do, and it is an art form. I always thought it was an art form.
It's an art form. It is an art form. I mean, you have to have, it's not just physical strength, but it's also, there is a grace to it.
Yes.
There
I did do a podcast interview with one of my with one of my former classmates, as I said, I've known her since middle school, and she dropped out, I think, in 10th or 11th grade, and had a pretty interesting story to tell.
Anyone interested to come and tell their story?
The Life of the Party. I think it's called After the Party's Over or something like that.
Is that like her company?
I think that's the book she wrote.
She wrote a book?
Yeah.
Is it published?
Yes. Yeah, I'll give you that information after. Her name's Mindy Kaufman.
Yeah. Oh, and she's Jewish. Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
she just happens to be Jewish as well.
But not all strippers are Jewish.
No, they're not. I know some very, very Christian strippers and ex-strippers, or at least ex-strippers.
I get myself in trouble with my wife. Sees this. That was all in the past.
It's in the past. It was before you, honey.
It was. I actually turned legal drinking age in a strip club.
I remember.
Down in South Florida.
The
Sportsman's Lounge.
I want to thank you for your time and generosity. And you have so much to say about, you have so much wisdom and so much insight from, the Stoicism. And I want people to take away from you that thing about that you aren't helpless, you need to take accountability and responsibility for your own life, and you're not a victim of circumstance, that you can make a choice not to be a victim and to be, to be a person that is, am I going to solve a problem person, or am I just going to let this happen to me? I mean, there's some things we can't control. Like you said, the, loss and grief, we can't really control it, but we can control how we rise from it, the resilience that it takes. I think you talk about resilience.
I talk about resilience all the time. Yep.
Right.
No, you're right. What is resilience? It's really, for me, it's getting your life to a point to where you can bounce back to it. You can take the hits. I think where people run into problems is they think that once they get over the current challenge, that it's all going to be downhill from there. It's going to be easy. No. Once you get through one challenge, guess what? You're going to get another challenge, and maybe not one. You might get multiple. Who knows? Maybe there's a lull to where you don't feel it. But again, resilience is the ability to kind of
bounce from curveballs. Life is constant curveballs.
Yeah, kind of toughen yourself up. Doing that allows you to get the life that you want and to become the person. Like, I don't know, I'm still learning who I am. As you get older, you don't stop learning about yourself.
No, I think I learn more from getting older.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
I think you learn more from you don't contemplate
a
lot of things in your teens, your 20s, even your 30s. You don't contemplate, even your 40s. And for me personally, I wasn't thinking about where my life was going until I started to hit 50 and said, what am I going to do with the rest of this? That's when I started writing the book, was six years ago. When I started getting close to turning 50, it was 2020 and it was COVID and I had nothing to do, no job. And I said, okay, I think I'm going to write this book finally. And so now, 6 years later, still not finished, just because there's just been other things.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I think it's okay to put things on the back burner, but also sometimes you can leave it on the back burner so long that it gets burned and you just got to throw away the pot. You know, sometimes you have to just, and I've had some of those things to where I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be able to do
thank
that.
Thank you so much for being, I will.
I know you will.
Taught myself a lot, so I keep learning. And that's how I think to end it on, that you keep learning in life in general, whether you just keep learning. Keep it just.
Yeah. And just, you know, sometimes you have to kick your own ass.
And sometimes you have to kick your own ass.
You know, learning is not always easy, especially as you get older. You know, and again, that goes right back to the attitude. I guess we'll bring it full circle to the attitude adjustment. You know, attitudes are settled thoughts. That's something that you don't have to really think about. It's settled. Like your attitude towards certain people that you may see out in the street or something like that. You know, these are things that you don't give too much thought, but it's affecting your life. So maybe that's a different way. Kind of change your attitude as well. Bring a different attitude to the game.
Yeah.
But I thank you for your time too. I always find our conversations, always interesting. And
I really appreciate you coming on and keeping, you know, just keeping in touch and kind of mentoring a little bit.
That's awesome. That makes me feel good.
Thank you.
If anyone's interested in my podcast, it's at a swift kick in the ass. I'm on YouTube. I have a couple different sites on there, but it's a swift.
But you have the audio uploaded too. Apple.
Anywhere where you get podcasts,
right?
You can find a swift kick in the ass. It's really on YouTube because it's like a person's name. Swift kick in the ass.
Yes.
But I also have the official show. I don't know. They changed the rules or something like that. But check it out.